Who knew musicians had climate stories? For that matter, who knew any of us had climate stories? Well, Green Vision's producer Adam Reinhardt knew, and today he talks with Jeremy Messersmith about his.
Gotta say the future's awesome. Everything is A-OK. All the work is done by robots. Every day is Saturday. Future people all have jetpacks. Fly around in flying cars. There's so much that I could tell you, but the coolest part by far. Everybody gets a kitten, a new one every single day. Everybody gets a kitten, you can name if you want, or you can give it away.
Hello, I'm Jeremy Messersmith.
Well, thank you for joining us today, Jeremy. We're bringing you on happening around the same time as the Climate Generation Band Together event, which is bringing together a bunch of these artists, and they're sharing their climate stories. And it's a cool time to, you know, to get some perspectives. A lot of times we hear from a lot of climate news from scientists and reports. And I think there's certainly power in hearing from artists. So I guess to start, you know, I guess we can just ask the big question, you know, what does a better future look like to Jeremy Messersmith?
I think it's one in which I think the best future is with when humans start living with a little more harmony, in a little more harmony with their environment. I think that's basically it. I like the, you know, the kind of the Boy Scout model of ecological stewardship, and you know, that would be, you know, while we're here on this planet, try not to trash it, and you know, leave things better than how you found it. Hike out your trash.
Sure.
Seems like a good thing, you know. I mean, like, think of the, you know, unborn generations of people that will, you know, that will follow after us, and not just humans either. Not to be speciesist, I mean, this planet is home to all sorts of living creatures, and we should really think about how to leave it better for everybody that's going to come after us.
Sure.
We want to be known as the garbage generation that ruined the planet.
So how did you get involved with the Climate Generation Band Together performance, and then sort of something we can explore is, like, what was your journey to getting involved with climate activism?
Sure. Well, I did it because they asked. And I feel like it's a thing that I've been involved in a fair amount of, like, I guess, like, social causes. I do fundraisers and political events, like, pretty frequently. But this is actually the first a climate-centered one that anyone's asked me to do, and I kind of just had a long-standing thing with my manager where, like, if anything comes around like that, it's something that I'm passionate about and would love to be able to participate in. So that's kind of how it came about. I was very, very excited to be asked. I think it's very smart of them to bring in a bunch of artists. Because climate change is a, you know, for the most part, like a big abstract kind of a concept. And that's hard for people to grasp. And one of the things that artists do is craft narratives about anything. I mean, that's what storytellers and songwriters and poets and painters do. I mean, there's like you're able to kind of craft a story. And the stories are the things that hopefully stick in people's minds and make it a little less abstract.
There's this sort of conversation now that's somehow become a reality where it's like science is a debate in some weird universe that we currently exist in. And is there parts of songwriting that can sort of go beyond what has unfortunately become sort of a politicized conversation around science, which is the most ridiculous thing I've ever said in a sentence, but
sure.
It's the world we live in.
I mean, I would hope that not just songwriting, but art can cut through a lot of that. And I think songwriting is maybe a particularly good way to do it. And I will say that I don't think I've written, like, the great climate change song, whatever that would be. But songs have the ability to very quickly transport a listener and put them in somebody else's shoes and to see things from that perspective and the remarkable vehicles for empathy. So I think that songs should play a part in kind of, you know, educating and really just educating through empathy is what I think music really does. There's a lot of ways that you can bypass, you know, somebody's, the things, the walls they've built around their mind by making them feel something. Feelings kind of bypass that, and I hope songs will be a part of it.
And it's not that every song around climate change has to be sad necessarily either, right? I mean,
no, not at all. Yeah. In fact, I think actually if there were more funny songs about climate change, that would probably be good.
Well, yeah.
If you're making somebody laugh about something, there's a kind of a tacit acknowledgement of the absurdity. And sometimes that can, you know, that's why parody and satire work as a way to, oh, let's just illustrate how ridiculous, you know, and funny something is. And sometimes that's a first step in maybe changing people's mind about it.
Just to go there, I guess. So, you know, we're careening towards a climate disaster, right?
Yes, correct.
How do you wrestle with that on a personal level?
Towards an existential threat?
Yeah.
To all of humanity?
Exactly.
Hopefully with courage and grace and some amount of optimism.
Okay, expand on those 3 points.
Well, I mean, hopefully it's just going to spur, I'm up for any sort of internal mechanism that spurs action to actually prevent such a thing from happening. And it is, yes, at least at this point, we're looking at major changes, but perhaps not apocalyptic, at least to humans. And I'm a big believer in state of mind, and I'm not like an overwhelming optimist. But I think it's generally better if people don't feel discouraged and defeated about it. That's kind of the mindset that I would choose to have.
Yeah. So on this optimism piece, what does that look like in your work, or what does that look like to someone that is trying to wrestle with finding optimism, within this?
Yes. I think it's going to show up in a bunch of different ways. For me, a lot of it, like my political and ecological consciousness came out in songs. So I had a ukulele album that I did a few years back, 11 obscenely optimistic songs for ukulele, a microfolk record for the 21st century and beyond, in which I kind of tried to encode like the values and things that I believed in, but just do it in a positive way. Like when you frame ideas in like a negative way, you basically force a little bit of unpacking on the mental unpacking, unboxing, if you will, on the listener. And the happy stuff just kind of burns a little cleaner, in my opinion. And it certainly resonates with people a lot more, the more simple, the more direct and more positively you can frame it. I mean, acknowledging things are bad is the first step. Then the second step is, well, then what? You know, what else should we do? And I guess I like to live in that bit of mental framing.
And do you think it's, you know, a time where artists almost have, I don't want to put the responsibility on musicians because they don't, but you know what I'm saying?
I'm reminded of the Kurt Vonnegut. I'll just paraphrase. Kurt Vonnegut was asked about all of the art that was made, you know, in protest to the Vietnam War. And, yeah. All the difference that it made, he said, it didn't amount to a wet fart. but please continue.
So it goes, I suppose. It's not, responsibility is the wrong word, but I mean, you know, there's this energy, there's this, like you're saying, this existential reality that we're facing, and this energy, and we touched on it a little bit earlier, but it's a vehicle that maybe artists can get on the vehicle, and that's maybe what we're seeing with you and a lot of other artists. I mean, certainly that the Band Together event with Climate Generation is sort of encapsulating that activism within musicians.
Yeah. Part of an artist's job is to you know, be a product of your time, be part of the wave. You know, it's like, you know, especially with music. I mean, we've been using the same three chords for a very, very long time. People actually doing anything new in music, I mean, you can find, if you go back far enough, you can find like precursors just about any song, you know, things that are very similar about it. So we kind of sing the same tunes, but we have to update them to kind of like match what needs to be said and what needs to be sung in kind of, you know, our current times. That's our job.
Yeah.
And it would make sense that, yeah, climate change would be a part of that. It's been very fun to see, actually. The new Bon Iver record is a bit of a climate change album. That's been very fun. I've been listening to that a bunch.
Yeah. That was singer and songwriter Jeremy Messersmith speaking with us this morning about the climate crisis and, you know, roles that artists are playing within it. Jeremy Messersmith and a whole bunch of other amazing artists will be performing at the Climate Generation event, Band Together. It's going to be a whole night of musicians and storytellers talking about our climate crisis. Thanks for tuning in. This is Green Visions. I'm Adam Reinhart. There is a full-length and a little bit more unedited version that you can find on Apple Podcasts or at our website, kumd.org.
There is no disease or hunger, zero poverty or war. Life is just a giant party. No one here is ever bored.
Green Visions on KUMD is made possible with support from the Minnesota Power Energy Conservation Program, making progress toward a lower carbon energy future.
But the coolest part by far, everybody gets a kitten, a new one every single day. Everybody gets a kitten, you can name if you want or not. Everybody gets a kitten.